Welcome to Disability Empowerment Now, Season 4. I'm your host, Keith Murphy DeGincini. Today I'm talking to Leo Ricketts, who is an autistic therapist and co-host of the Autistic License Podcast. Leo, welcome to the show.
I'm very happy to be here. Thanks ever so much for giving me some time on your program.
No problem, my friend. So tell me about the Autistic License and how you and your co-host came up with that name and that idea.
Okay, sure. So my co-host is Shauna. I'm in London in England. She's in Carrickfergus in Northern Ireland. So we're both within the United Kingdom, but some hundreds of miles apart. And we actually...
Have you ever met in person?
Yes, we have, but it wasn't for a long time. But I could come to that, actually. Yeah, it wasn't for quite a while. We met online because we both are members of a Facebook group called Autistic Counselors and Psychotherapists, which was largely a British thing originally, and most of the members were from the UK when we joined a couple of years ago, nearly 3 years ago. Now it's really international. There are many, many members all over the world.
And so is that a big community? Because I would have no idea. I mean, I'm glad that it is a thriving community, but it's like, unless you know or are involved in the community, have no idea.
Yes.
And so talk about that community.
I wouldn't have known either. So just to backtrack a little bit about my own identity. So I'm late diagnosed, as many of the people in that community are. I got my official shiny piece of paper kind of just over two and a half years ago. I'm 58, so I was in my,
you know. Congratulations!
Thank you, Key. Thank you. And it was. One of my autistic clients actually did. They got me a gift and said congratulations, and that is exactly the right reaction. It's something that I kind of suspected for a few years. I'd always felt closer, more aligned to autistic people certainly my adult life, but I would count myself out, discount all the things. And a lot of people I know do this. You know, I can make eye contact, I can sustain relationships and all of those things that autistic people can't do. So I would rule myself out, you know, of taking that seriously.
Yeah.
And eventually I didn't. And it was through the work that I do with more and more neurodivergent people, I thought, no, this definitely, these are my people.
So late diagnosed autistics are becoming more and more common, to make that assumption. That's good, because I have mild cerebral palsy. If you don't get it at birth or by age 3, you don't have it. There's no late diagnosis cerebral palsy at all. But I've known late diagnosed autistics who I've been fortunate enough to walk through their journey a little bit with them or hear their story. And it's like having their second birthday
Yes.
of it's and it's something that I cannot imagine because all I was born 3 months premature. So if you
Yeah,
really want
yes.
to do the second birthday, I have two. One
Gotcha.
where I enter the world, and one if I was born full term. But that's totally ahead fantasy. Late autistics is not a head fantasy. It's a real thing. Like you said, you always expected for a few years, and I'm like, okay, I think he means 30 years just to be facetious there, because, and I'm not trying to imprint myself on your story at
It's okay.
all, but it's like, and hopefully you talk about this growing up, always knowing or suspecting, but couldn't really figure it out to where you almost live like double lives in
Totally.
a way.
Totally.
And that sounds cool in one area, but also maddening in another area because it's like you're two people, but not really. You're the same person, but it's like, wow, that's a long tangent, but it's like I just have so much appreciation for that, not living it, but just
Wonderful. I
hearing
said.
about it from other late diagnosed autistics and trying to wrap my brain around the emotional and intellectual complexity of trying to do five tightrope acts every damn day of your life until you get that diagnosis. And it's like a light bulb goes off in your head, but not your head, everyone else around you, because you've already known this or
That's it.
suspected.
That's it. Thank
And
you.
it's like, wow. So yeah, tell
Thank you.
your
Thank you. Thank
story.
you. That's brilliant. That resonates so well. And in a way, what you said, a double life, it's kind of true when you know. For a long time, you're living a double life you don't know about because you're masking. And depending on how well you're naturally able to do that, because it's a subconscious process in the first place, it depends on how visible that is. And it was completely invisible for me. My support needs, as it's now kind of classified, are relatively low. I was clearly bright at school, but I couldn't produce any of the work. I mean, then we can also add the ADHD in there too, as well, because they're that's part of the same battle. But what I find, because I work kind of exclusively now with neurodivergent people, mostly autistic, not all. But there are commonalities. There are things that everybody says when they go through this journey. And the most common one is, something like, now everything makes sense. You reframe everything that went before, and you see, as you beautifully put it, the double life that you led without knowing it. And of course, you take on all that responsibility for all the things that you're not doing right or you're failing at, or, you know. So adult life was kind of knowing that I was had all kinds of struggles, particularly around work and learning and, you know, being productive, changing careers a lot. Again, ADHD as well, really doing well with new stuff. So kind of moving from one area of work to another. So I became a therapist way before I'd come to the realization or even knowing what neurodivergence was. And by the way, in my training for over like 5 years, no mention of neurodivergence whatsoever. And this is 10 years ago. This is not long ago. This is recent. You know, nothing. Make of that what you will. That is changing. Yeah. I know that that's changing, and that's a great thing. And, you know, I get to be part of that change. I'm doing a training this weekend for a therapy service so that they know a little bit more about what it's like to work with autistic people in particular and what the differences are. Anyway, I digress. So I was a therapist for several years, masking, not knowing what I was, but suspecting. And so eventually after kind of a couple of years of being absolutely convinced, I'm being self-diagnosed, which importantly, it's important to say that's totally valid in terms of my own practice and the wider neurodivergence community. Self-diagnosis is just as valid. Doesn't matter if you have the shiny piece of paper or not. People will often have very good reasons for wanting that, as I did, as confirmation.
Yeah.
As self-validation, but also, unfortunately, it being necessary to convince other people as well.
I would. Well, I am going to say, and I'm not trying to trivialize this at all, but did you claim that shiny piece of paper, the official diagnosis, because you waited so long to get it, just like you earned your degree. But no, not at all trying to trivialize that, but it's like I'm in my late 50s here, just got a big part of my life unwrapped. I already knew it years ago, and now I got the piece of paper. Did you get it laminated and framed? Because that's what I would do.
I didn't. The thing is, it's not a piece of paper. It's a 24-page psychology report.
Kind of hard to frame that, but damn, that would. Did you get that leather bound? Did you get it?
I want to now. You
did in quilt.
I'm totally going to do that now you said it. I can't not. Thanks.
No, levity aside, but damn, I mean, that again, we'll joke in making jokes, but we're on the same page, but it shouldn't be like that.
Of course.
Really should not be. And I can make these jokes out of empathy or sympathy.
Empathy is exactly what I was gonna say. Yeah. That's
having
right.
My brain is right now doing psychological backflips, trying to put myself, which I never really can, in your shoes, in the shoes of a late diagnosed, whatever that diagnosis is because, again, I was born into this body. Cerebral palsy is in, it's ripped me until they put me in a box and put me 6 feet under. Hopefully not for a long time, but it's like there is no light diagnosis of cerebral palsy, and there's so many and autism just related probably of disabilities that people discover later in life, except autism didn't just tap you on the shoulder or come down. The tooth fairy didn't drop it under your pillow, and then 30 years, flash forward to 30 years, manifest. No, it did not happen that way. And so it's just having all the gratitude of your journey of getting your diagnosis. I wish you got it sooner. I wish everyone got it
Yes,
sooner,
of
because
course.
again, it's a big part of your life. It shapes
Yes,
the way you live,
everything,
the way you
everything.
see. It's like so, yeah. I mean, another long tangent, but it's like
So true.
this is a huge, huge bedrock of a thing that luckily it's getting talked about more and more and more, that hopefully will lead to change where people are
Thank you.
diagnosed more and more sooner than, yeah.
And the thing that you're kind of moving toward there, I think, and thank you for all of that again, because you put all of that just so beautifully, is that all the, we call them accommodations or adjustments or whatever that I might need, that other autistic people might need, and there's obviously a huge range of those, would benefit everybody. It's
Yeah.
not like it's the barrier isn't that underdiagnosis helps society out because they don't have to, everything that could be done to make our lives easier will make
Yeah.
everybody's lives easier. I think it's
Yeah.
generally true, massive sweeping statement coming, but generally true of
Yeah.
disability as a whole, however you might look at that. And
Yeah.
here I am on your show, Disability Empowerment Now. This is a difficult word if you have an invisible or a
Yeah,
hidden
yeah,
disability. It's a
yeah,
really hard word. There is all kinds of stuff, and I've struggled. I've only
yeah.
been able to lean into it myself in the last, well, since the new year, actually.
Wow,
You know,
brand new.
and that is in terms of wearing the sunflower lanyard when I travel, marking myself out, feeling I don't deserve that, this
You
nonsense.
explain the
Oh,
sunflower lanyard
yes.
to people who don't know
Let me
that.
grab it as
I'll
well, so that those of us,
actually
those of those
show.
people watching on YouTube can
Yeah.
have a look as well. If I've got it, here it is. Okay. So this is useful for me when I fly. Airport staff are quite good at recognizing these. I mean, your mileage may vary, but basically these are available, and it's not, you don't have to pass any tests or anything.
Yeah.
You just get yourself one. It marks you out as needing some assistance potentially, and you can put as much information or as little as you want. Mine says I am autistic over here. Yeah. And then on the others, there are some symbols that you can choose say things like, I need a certain bit of distance, or loud noises are going to bother me, or, you know, whatever the things are. Yeah. I've had generally positive experiences using it so far. Not everybody does. I've heard some horror stories where people actually are marked out in unhelpful ways. But the point is really, one, do I deserve special treatment? I am... You know, the current terminology here is able-bodied. Mobility isn't a problem, but my problems are mostly sensory. So again, invisible. Also, there are, you know, there's psychological stuff that has helped me out with, like claustrophobia. You know, being in a crowded queue for airport security is a big problem for me, and to be relieved of that is huge. But the point I think I was thinking about just earlier was this shame and guilt thing. I don't deserve special treatment. There are, you know, this old argument that everybody who turns up in therapy at some point says something like, there's always someone worse off than me. I don't deserve ... Somebody pointed out to me, and I've always reflected this back to people who say something like that, we never say there's always somebody better off than me or happier than me, and therefore I don't deserve to be happy. We don't say that. No. It's always a downward comparison that we make. And of course, the logical extension of that argument is there's only ever one person in the world at any one time who's allowed to
I'm
be
sure
unhappy.
Brad Pitt, Tom Cruise, Jamie Foxx, I could go on and on and on, are more happier than me at any given point. That doesn't take away from the fact that I love my job and generally love and live my life. But yeah, as your point was made, there are a lot of people happier, probably more happier than you, or at least on the same length than people who have it harder than you. Like, you can pick out anyone in the third world. And I mean, there's a reason why people don't go to bed or shouldn't go to bed thinking, gee, I'm glad I have it better off than anyone in the third world, because you don't want to be emotionally and morally bankrupt. But it's like, and so you either go down or you go up, and it's like, but that's a very interesting point, that we only go down not up. When it's just as true as
thank you. That's exactly right.
I mean, it's just...
And it makes the point is the comparisons are pointless. In the end of the day, suffering is suffering. And Jamie Foxx, Brad Pitt, whoever, probably do have dreadful days, months, whatever, you know.
There are tons and tons of celebrity therapists who judge,
of course,
celebrities because they are specialized in understanding that lifestyle, that all those pressures, and they're all celebrity therapists who just see other celebrity therapists. And that's valid. Valid as any other type of therapy. But let's get way back to
Yes.
the artistic license.
Thank you, Keith.
We
Well
took a bit of a
done. Yeah.
detour, hopefully not too long.
We love
Well, yeah,
sidebars.
sidebar upon sidebar. None of us are composing a symphony here, folks.
Thank you. So, yes, I came across the Facebook group that I mentioned earlier, for autistic counselors and psychotherapists through another podcast, actually. So the woman who set that group up was a guest on a podcast, talked about that group. I heard it. I joined, about 3 years ago now. And after there were a few kind of online meetings of small groups of people, and out of that, my now co-host Shauna suggested setting up a little online peer support, peer supervision group of therapists. And out of that, we came up with the idea that some of the conversations we were having, it would be so good if people could hear them and understand that there is such a thing as an autistic therapist. That's not a contradiction in terms. That's a really good thing that we exist.
Only
And
autistic comedian. I mean, you talk, and we'll talk about later, one of the horrible misconceptions is that autistic people aren't funny. I know that to be downright false.
We know that,
Several times in my life, in the past week, just in the past week, that's proven. But yeah, it's not a contradiction in
Thank
terms.
you. That's right. That's right. And that was really, I suppose, the reason, as you were asking right at the beginning, about why the podcast exists. And you asked about the name. It's just, autists love wordplay and puns, and just the fact that autistic license sounds a little bit like artistic license, which is a phrase. But also, I know Shauna has said on the podcast before that it actually there's a second twist to that, which is that we have license to be autistic, and therefore, although notionally speaking, it's kind of a weekly podcast, we just went a month without releasing anything, and it's up to us. We have autistic license to do as we feel on that one. And it has also, I think, what the feedback that we've got so far is very much that actually the theme, if you like, of the podcast is the friendship between Shauna and I, and how that is evolving kind of on air in a way, as co-therapists, as co-autistic people, and as co-hosts of the podcast. And I understand, and that's not actually surprising, because both of us practice as relational therapists. That's part of our training and how we each practice, even though we practice in completely different modalities. What we recognize, and every bit of research on therapy recognizes, is that it's the quality of the relationship between me and my client, or people I work with, that's the biggest influencer of outcome, more than what kind of therapy you practice, more than how strictly you stick to the kind of therapy you practice. The biggest determiner of outcome is the quality of relationship that exists. And we, I think, kind of demonstrate that out loud. Because the other thing about therapy is nobody ever gets to see you work. Nobody ever gets to see you in therapy. It's a totally closed, it has to be, obviously, because confidentiality is the whole, safety and confidentiality is paramount. But the downside of that is you don't get to see it. And although we're not doing therapy on each other, we are having a relationship with each other that's very public, and a friendship that develops as therapists as well. So there's all kinds of...
You could do a mock therapy session of each other and make that a entire episode or a entire series of episodes. Not that I'm legit pitching that. I'm sure your co-host is gonna love that idea, by the way.
Keith, do not think that that hasn't occurred to us on a number of occasions. There may even be one or two unreleased recordings where that has kind of happened by accident.
Yes.
And it's just a case of us getting brave enough to edit that into something and put it out. But I absolutely...
Hallelujah!
Thank you for legitimizing that and kind of validating that. Of course, that would be a great thing to do. And it does happen. You know, it's been dramatized on TV a couple of times. What was it called with... Oh, God, I've got the box set. Doesn't matter. Come back to it. It's been done a number of times, sometimes really well, sometimes not so well. There are real filmed actual therapy sessions. There's Couples Therapy is a series that's on the BBC right now. So there is some exposure to it. And there's some podcasts as well, actually, where, with permission, obviously, there have been recordings for therapy sessions. What we're most interested in at this point is just showing that we exist.
Yeah.
And that, you know, you would think that maybe there's a kind of received wisdom that if you're a mental health professional in some form, you have to be in perfect mental health. And of course, nobody is. We know that. But the idea might sound really out there to somebody.
Yeah.
How can you? What do you mean you go and see a therapist who's autistic? They don't have a theory of mind. That's one of the big things that's been challenged.
Oh, wait. Wouldn't Freud or Jung, weren't they completely sound mind when they literally created psychotherapy?
Yeah, absolutely. We have the phrase, the wounded healer, that gets wheeled out a lot, you know.
Exactly. It's like, and I mean, if you take away or destroy confidentiality, that's the end of therapy. And then we're all buggered. To use a very UK term. It's just like, so again, getting back to the formation, and I mean, you explain the title of the podcast, how you and Shauna met. And so, how long has the podcast gone on?
And we knew we recorded for a good 6 months without releasing anything. All kinds of, you're familiar with PDA?
Wait, you can do that?
Yes. And it was necessary, it turns out. But we actually launched last November, so it's not quite a year old yet. And we've just launched 2 days ago, season two, which is a kind of a notional arbitrary number thing. It's just that, as I said, we had a break over August through the summer. So starting again, we decided to name it as season two, and we'll be a little bit different. This time we're going to experiment, although we're very nervous about it, about having guests on, as you do, in fact, as you're...
Yeah, I mean, just to branch out a bit,
please.
This idea thrives on guests, participation. I can talk for 2 or 3 hours straight on any given topic. That's not interesting to me. Hearing my own voice and releasing it long form It's just not. No, it's like maybe I'll do a offshoot once or twice
I will
just to
subscribe.
say I did that. But it's like, no, this idea about disability empowerment was always focused on, well, I think I'm gonna need some help with that, aka a lot of help. And so why don't I just interview other people? It's like, so the genesis, the origin of this show, which only last season three, started becoming a official video cast as well as a podcast, but it was always set up as a interview show. And like you have background in therapy, I don't have background in interviewing people. It's just, and before I did it, I had no interests. I literally, if someone had said to me in 2018, before I cooked this idea up the following year, oh yeah, this is what you're going to do with your life, I would be like, what are you on? I think you have the wrong person. Maybe in the next life or the next life. This was not nowhere in my wheelhouse of, yeah, I'll make a living doing that. Whereas you wanted to become a therapist, and I'm sure
Good
there
point.
are myriads of reasons why you wanted to become a therapist. But I fell into that because I couldn't judge, not release the recordings, write up interviews, and post them on a blog site because no one would talk to me about their stories if they knew that I was going to use my words and my
Okay, good point.
telling, and that's totally valid. I mean, I wouldn't want my story translated through the lens of someone else, and so I just switched modes from the written word to recordings and literally fell into that, and we haven't even been doing it for that long. We just started in 22, and so, and we did two seasons the first year. Who wanted to do that? Me, because I had never heard of that being done. And so I was like, I'm gonna do it. Does anyone care if I do it? No. Do I care? No. I just wanted to say I did it because it's a very odd way to start a show. But yeah, so that is the origins of this show and how it I work with a fabulous team who helps me put it together each and every week. And so I forget where we jumped off in, oh, yeah, season two
That was
and
it.
doing 6 months of recording, but not releasing yet. And so, yeah, talk more about the format and like mine is very much interview conversational standard. I mean, the only thing missing from that would be we don't have a pint of beer in our hands while
That's
we're doing that.
right.
So, but it's the artistic license, it's that more structured, or is
The
it?
opposite. So I tell you, first of all, though, I will come to that. But the fact that you made that switch from written to spoken word and an audible thing is so important, because what I'm just, we've never met. I've never spoken to you before. I've listened to some of the shows. And what always comes across when I listen to your shows is this energy. It's incredible. But actually, to be
Thank you.
connected with you now, I was kind of jumping up and down in my seat. I mean, probably more my ADHD was get brain was getting really involved and very, very excited. It's really lovely, that energy that you throw out. And that couldn't
Because
have come across in the written word, I imagine. But
no, it's that the other critical point that I left out and that you touched upon, that energy, it's because I've always had this innate curiosity about others. Even though I am, oddly enough, and I don't think people will believe me, I'm shy. But when you put a mic in front of me and you give me something to say, I become not
And
shy.
I know that you're an actor as well, so I mean,
Yes, and but
how common is
again,
that?
thank you. But again, this podcast, this show would not have gotten anywhere out of my mind without the innate curiosity. And I'm so happy to hear that that energy comes through,
Oh,
hopefully, each and
really
every
does.
episode, because it's what I've done episodes where I've had a full-on migraine. You wouldn't know, because when I'm in the zone, I'm in the zone, and it's about having that euphoric and sometimes incredibly difficult conversation or conversations. Not everything is sunshine and rainbows. In fact, a lot of it isn't. But we're not putting on a show to randomly add to the oversaturation of noise. This show means something, and hopefully it's helping others broaden their perception and their viewpoints on disability, what it looks like, what it feels like, what people with disability wants, which spoiler alert, it's exactly what their non-disable counterparts want. I mean, it's just like, spoiler alert. I know that's hard for some people to understand. It really shouldn't be, though, and it's like, so this show, like the artistic license, was born out of service, born out of putting on or releasing a show that actually matters, that serves a purpose or a myriad of
Oops.
purposes.
Thank you.
We're not doing it just because we're bored. We have nothing to do. You're a full-time therapist. You also co-host the podcast. Full-time therapy. People don't become part-time therapists. I mean, I'm sure there are some, but
they exist. But yeah, that's not me. That's right. It is
like,
full-time.
Again, neither one of us are bored. That we're just like, hey, let's sit in front of a microphone and a camera and talk about real shit. Because we're bored. Yeah, no one thinks like that.
But also, this is what you said before, chimes in with what I was saying about, you know, what we, you know, the original purpose was we exist. There are autistic therapists in the world. You model absolutely something about a podcast and what's possible. You know, people will see you and there'll be people who will identify with you and your life and your ups and downs and all the things that you talk about and reframe what's possible. I think that's a big part of it. You asked about structure and I was kind of smiling and shaking my head. Oh, by the way, another sidebar, the captions have come up automatically on this Zoom call, so it transcribes. And earlier when you were talking about relating to people, you said the word disability and it came up as digability, and that was so cool.
Yeah, well, I mean, another sidebar, that's exactly what we do here.
Yes.
And the reason why there are so many sidebars in this episode is we just dig down deep.
Oh, yes, then that kind of dig as well. I was thinking of dig as in appreciation, but yes, digging down.
Yeah, digging down, appreciation, et cetera, et cetera. It's like, this episode is a perfect example of it, not to use a U.S. political term, but
No,
this
please
is very much a fireside chat
do. Isn't it?
between two advocates on opposite ends of the world. Politics are different, but regardless, it's like this episode started as a traditional interview, but quickly evolved into just two colleagues who until about a few months ago had no idea who the other one was, and it's evolved into I can't really, now I can see you, it was Boyford second, and now the conversation has evolved into just two colleagues having a spirited conversation. And that is the whole point of the show. It's a,
Yes.
and that's what makes it so engaging. So for it, as the interviewee or the interviewer, the host, to be able to do it's this back and forth. It's back and forth. We can disagree. At the end of the day, it's just about having
That's it.
the chemistry and the shared energy of the show. This is a very unscripted show. I've tried to script it a few times. Doesn't work. Not as well. And so it's like, but yeah, talk
Well,
about,
that's it. That's
yeah.
exact. So you've just also described exact. So we don't have a structure. We've never even
Yeah.
decided on a subject before we start. We just record for an hour or two, and the structure comes naturally. Arcs always seem to happen naturally. And what I'm incredibly fortunate is this brain that Shauna has, where she can listen to a raw recording and just map out edits in her head. I don't know how she does it. I can't do this.
So she's like the Mozart of podcasting.
Oh, incredible.
Wow, Shauna, I need to meet you.
Yes. So she would just
Mozart
send me through.
is my favorite classical
It's
composer, by the way, but go on. Yeah.
okay. So that's how that what structure there is comes through the edit that we will then do,
Yeah.
and then it just goes out. And sometimes we'll return to themes because they were mentioned before. Sometimes we'll
Yeah.
get feedback and we'll bring something in that somebody may have written to us about. And but so far, it'll probably evolve, especially if we are gonna, if we're gonna bring in guests, then that probably requires a little bit more thought, a little bit more of preparation so that we can engage with somebody else that isn't in this kind of very, I suppose, cliquey way that we have of talking because we know each other.
Yeah,
But I'm
yeah.
excited about, we're both excited about that and how
Good.
that might be different.
And so wrapping up, hopefully we do another episode together. And if you want me to ever come on your
Oh, yes.
podcast,
I was coming
I'm
to that.
down and
Great.
in for that.
That's going to happen.
If there are any aspiring advocates who want to go into podcasting, being therapists, video casting, et cetera, we've both won, I'm sure, very many hats, very many
Oh, yes.
different hats
That's it.
during our lifetimes. But you're my guest, and so what would be some action steps or some form of advice you would give aspiring advocates?
Well, it's kind of similar to my, I've got a bit of a creative background. I've been a musician and I've been a designer, and often I'll have conversations with people about creative process. And the thing that always comes out is that you just don't police yourself. Whatever's in, let it come out. Now, I'm a hypocrite because I don't do that. I never allow myself to do that. This is why we recorded for 6 months and didn't release anything. I just thought it's not good enough. It's not good enough. If you've got something to say, it's so easy and it's free now to
Yeah.
speak into your phone, record that, upload it into a podcast host or a blog or a vlog. Start.
Yeah.
Just start.
Yeah. So I'd like to thank that both advocates with disabilities and those who have yet to discover or embrace their own disabilities both listen and watch this show, and groups within those groups are. But I'm not naive enough to think that everyone takes away the same points from every episode. And so, as my guest, what do you hope that advocates with disabilities take away from all the myriad of sidebars we talked about in this episode? And what do you hope that people who have yet to discover or embrace their own disabilities take away from this episode?
Wow, I'll do my best. What do I get? What do I want them to get from the myriad of sidebars is that neither of us, neither you or me, intended to end up doing this. It was necessary. We found that we really, really enjoy it, and we had to both, in many different ways, I'm sure, get over all the internal barriers that we don't deserve it or that we shouldn't have a voice. You know, you absolutely do. And what was the second part? There was something about
That what so the full question, two parts, is what do you hope that advocates with
Oh, that's it.
disabilities take away from this episode? And what do you hope that those who have yet to discover or embrace their own disabilities take away from this episode?
You deserve to be attended to by the world and by yourself. It doesn't matter that whatever comparisons you're making with other people, whether it's the they've got it worse than me, I don't deserve, or whether it's nobody would be interested in hearing from me, that's not true. That's 100% not true. Speak, find your voice in whatever way is the most comfortable. That's the important first thing, and feel safe and allow that to feed back. We need you because most of the people who end up with these kinds of platforms, arguably, don't necessarily have the best of intentions. A lot of it is ego driven, and there's nothing wrong with it. I've got an ego, as you've
I
probably
do too.
noticed. There you go. But we need the people who are the most reluctant to speak up.
People always ask me, do you listen to your own show? And I'm like, no. And that's not because I don't like hearing my own voice, but 5 years from now, I'll still remember doing this episode like it was last week. I have all the episodes in my head. I don't know how they got there, how the topics get cataloged, but it's like, it's not that I'm avoiding my own show. It's that I already have the raw recordings, like
Yes.
Shauna does, in her head in terms of edits and
Yes.
whatnot. I mean, I'm subscribed to my own YouTube channel, but do I watch it? No.
Yes.
Because again, I can just close my eyes, drift, and pick a chapter of any episode and be like, oh yeah, I remember just doing that last week when this was years ago. But
Yes.
and so wrapping up, just to hit this home more, it's what do you hope that our non-disabled peers learn from our shows, our creative output? Because while we both have egos, everyone does, we both do our work as a servant to others. And it's like, it's not that we don't want to be doing this, it's not something that we ever envisioned we would do. And oh, like doing and want to keep doing. And so, what do you hope that our non-disabled peers learn about the disability community from listening to this
Yeah,
episode?
I think just have a think about what your expectations are. We're all prejudiced. We're hardwired to be prejudiced. We're supposed to be. It's a survival skill. We're supposed to know, don't eat berries that are that color because you'll die. So let's accept that prejudice is here. So let's challenge it. How has listening to us today confounded some of your expectations of what this might have sounded like? And just try to hold that in mind every time. Just try to be aware, make the invisible visible in terms of prejudging.
And in case anyone wants to find out more about the artistic license or has a question or two for you, what are the best ways to get in contact?
You can email us at autisticlicense@gmail.com. I need to point out we spell license the British way rather than the American way with two C's, no S, LICENCE, or autistic, spelt the same, autisticlicense.com. Our website has a contact form as well. And we're on, obviously, as you are, all the podcast platforms.
So, my friend, I've enjoyed
Me
this
too.
episode
Me too.
immensely. I hope it's only the first of many episodes and
Yes, Kit.
cross episodes that we
Yeah,
do
definite.
together. Say hi to Shauna,
Will
and
do.
I
Thanks, Kit.
look forward to talking to you again very, very soon.
Thank you, Keith. The feeling is mutual.
Take
I've really
care.
had fun. I've had such fun. Thanks.
Thank you. You have been listening to Disability Empowerment Now. I would like to thank my guests. You, our listener, and the Disability Empowerment team that made this episode possible. More information about the podcast can be found at disabilityempowermentnow.com or on our social media at Disability Empowerment Now. The podcast is available wherever you listen to podcasts or on the official website. Don't forget to rate, comment, and share the podcast. This episode of Disability Empowerment Now is copyrighted 2024.